Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, February 26, 2011, and I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles. We are live, and it's a celebration. Yes, we are celebrating the African-American entrepreneur and small business owner, and just plain business owner. See, we're coming to the close of Black History Month, and we wanted to address their contributions to the fabric of our heritage. Join us today. We have some fantastic business owners who are going to share their stories with us. For all of my panelists, please dial 347-637-2319 and press 1 so that I can see you. Thank you. Historically, the African-American business owner is not a new concept. We have been filling the needs of our community for as long as we have been on this planet. The notable business people that come to mind are Madam C.J. Walker, A.G. Gadsden, John Merrick, A.M. Moore, Russell Simmons, just to name a few. According to the book In the Black, A History of African Americans on Wall Street, in the early 1990s, the people of Tulsa realized the power of business ownership because black shop owners provided all the needed services to cater to the black community. All monies and investments stayed within the community. The community blossomed, and in a 35-block radius of span, there were 1,500 black-owned businesses and houses, including 10 millionaires and many families with substantial savings. You see, they were filling the needs by giving their communities products and services. Their example inspired the generations and that followed, encouraging a pioneering spirit that taught everyone that the seemingly impossible goals are and were possible. We celebrate their efforts, and now we're going to bring to you their legacy. Like I said before, my panelists, please dial 347-637-2319, and please press 1 so that I may be able to see you. On my panel, I am going to have several businesses, and they're going to be, it's Carol Thomas of Just Because Salon and Spa, James Niles, Flawless Barber Stylist, Keisha Kingston of Royal Amethyst, and Steve Davis of Omega Obstacle. Let's see, who do we have on board right now? Thank you for joining me. How may I help you? Hello.
This is Steve Davis from Omega Optical. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I was listening to the show, and you have me all excited about being part of the panel, so I thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And hopefully your listeners are inspired. For me, it was a simple thing of a mentor of mine, and his name is Bruce Crawley, a prominent businessman here in Philadelphia. Once said to me, why drive someone else's bus when you can own your own bus? And I took those words to heart as a teenager and decided to open my own optical practice.
Oh,
part
great.
Of my inspiration was I kept running into young teenage, especially African Americans, who weren't getting the proper eye care. And although I did not have the desire to go to optometry school and become a doctor of optometry myself, I felt as though I could be the entrepreneur and run the office. And so that's what inspired me in 2000 to open up Omega Optical.
Okay, and where is Omega Optical located?
We're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Like I said, we've been around since June of 2000, and then in 2008, we opened up our second location in Center City, Philadelphia. So we actually have two locations now.
Okay, great. Let's find out some more information from another one of our panelists, and we'll come back to you, okay?
Sure.
Great. Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today, Ms. Thomas?
doing very well. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm glad you could join us. Now,
yes, pleasure. It's all mine.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about your establishment and where it's located?
Yes, Just Because Hair Therapy Salon is located in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. We're right near Fort Greene Park, and we service male and female clients of all hair types, and we definitely pride ourselves on offering wholesome products that we use on our hair, on our clients' hair, as well as just custom service, just because.
Okay. Now, can you tell us what made Just Because become who they are? What made you go into that particular line of business?
Well, I've always had an interest in hair. I've always been very creative my entire life and have worked in various salons, and I just saw that there was a need to just really cater to the client in their own special way, and I thought that I could bring that to my clientele with the salon, you know, more than I could being in someone else's salon. So I really just wanted to take my own desire to really cater to the client's individual needs, really using the product. I love shopping for new products, new hair products and accessories to really cater to the individual needs of each client, and I thought that I could do that on my own versus doing that, you know, in a salon. So it's been going really well. We celebrated our 4-year anniversary just a few weeks ago, and our clients are happy, and so are we. So we've been here, and it's been great.
Okay, that is excellent. It appears that two of my panelists haven't dialed in yet, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask more questions of both the two panelists that I have with us right now. So
okay,
I'm going to go.
Great.
I'm going to ask, what has been the benefit of owning your own business? I'll start off with you, Mr. Davis.
Okay. I can talk about the benefits, but as any entrepreneur out there knows, that the benefits and the shortcomings kind of come hand in hand. One of the benefits of being in business for yourself is the freedom of creativity. I mean, you can market to the proper audience, you can select products from the right vendors, and you can fill a niche, especially an underserved market. You can fill a niche properly when the steering wheel is in your hands. So that's one of the benefits for me, is seeing smiles on people's faces. I go into schools, I go into nursing homes, and preach proper health care for the eyes. So, you know, although I'm a businessman, I guess I'm somewhat of a preacher as well, because,
okay,
like you said, I'm always talking about health care and preventive maintenance. Because, you know, with our culture, unfortunately, we kind of wait until it's an emergency room situation before we take care of it. And I really, that's my mission in life, is to get us on proper health care of the eyes, teeth, mental health care, the entire works. But like I said, it all starts with the eyes as far as the mega obstacle is concerned.
Hello?
Okay.
Yes?
Hi, Ms. Thomas, can you tell us what made you start? Can you tell us what have been the benefits of owning your own business?
I think the benefits, much like Mr. Davis has mentioned, has been really just to be able to respond to the market, you know, without having to, you know, go up the chains of command. You really have the opportunity to, when you feel that there's a change that needs to be made, you can make it immediately without having to waste time, without having to waste, you know, effort in trying to get people to buy into the idea. I think you're just really able to really see the needs of your market and then make those changes immediately. You're also able to, again, much as what Mr. Davis has said, you're also able to be creative in how you market your products and services. Right now, we have a project that we're doing with a local high school called the Prom Queen Project, where we teach women, young ladies, seniors in high school, about just the inner and outer aspects of beauty. And while we do that, it's obviously a light mentoring program, and it's really exciting. I mean, the girls, we tell them about various ways of hair care, nail care, beauty, makeup, all different types of things, while obviously promoting our salon, because they could always, after this project, come to us for, you know, their hair care needs. But it's just a great way to not just engage the students and to really give back to the students, but it's also a way to engage the teachers, the principals, the other staff at the school. They can know that, wow, Just Because it's not just worried about, you know, themselves and their business, but really about, you know, helping the community and hoping that young girls can really present themselves in the best way. So I think there's a way that you can marry, you know, your marketing strategies with just your overall mission, and that is to really just provide a service and to provide an outlet for women to feel their best and to be beautiful and to help young girls to come into womanhood in the way that most of us were trained. I think a lot of that training has kind of left pop culture, so we're excited to really be a part of that and really try to lead that at Susan McKinney High School. In fact, we're doing a fundraiser in March called our Spring Swing, and it's a fundraiser for our queens, our Prom Queen Project contestants. And basically, we're hoping that people can come, donate. Obviously, we love monetary donations, but we're also hoping for in-kind donations, and that is just gently used formal dresses that we can alter and give to these girls so that they can enjoy their prom without having to worry about the cost that's associated with the prom. So we're offering them hair services, makeup services, a prom dress, accessories, everything for their special
wow.
day so they can feel like ladies. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful program. We've done it in the past. It's our second year, and we've been very well received. So, again, going back to answering the question, I think it's just a matter of being able to respond to change, being able to respond and creatively market yourself, traditional means of marketing, but also
mm-hmm.
not so traditional, and really just feeling what you want to do and just going after that by just trusting your own energy and your own spirit. So that's been, you know, really successful here.
Oh, great, great. I believe we have another panelist with us. Mr. Niles?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us who you are, what you do, and what made you choose your particular line of business and where you're located?
Okay, cool. My name is James Niles. I'm a hairstylist, barber. They call me Flawless. My store is located on 140 Fifth Street between St. Nicholas and Convent Avenue. It's called Flawless NYC. What got me into doing hair, what got me into being my own business person, wow, you know, to tell you bluntly, I just don't like coworkers. You know, I don't like coworkers at all. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, because that's really the root of the problem. You know, I love my work, but I just want to kill my coworkers. So I kind of like branched off. You know, got my own and just deal with the people that I need to deal with. Everybody else, it's a hassle. You know. Especially when you want to come to work every day for 20 years and deal with somebody that you just don't want to deal with. So,
okay. Now, what have been the benefits of owning your own business, other than being able to not have to kill your co-workers?
wow. You become a model. You know, for people who are, I get it all the time. When young kids, male or female, they come in here. And they, you know, they're not working at the age of 21 or the age of 25. They're not even working at all, which is ridiculous. You know, people in other countries, you know, they got masters at 26 years old. So I don't understand how a lot of these kids out here, they're not pushing, you know, for anything other than just to socialize. I mean, I can understand if you're going to socialize, focus on always socializing to make money out of it. But just to socialize and not pursue it in any other way, it's kind of, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Now, let's see. The next question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to start with Mr. Davis again, is
okay.
What was your life like prior to becoming a business owner / entrepreneur?
Well, sort of like my fellow panelists has expressed, you know, dealing with the status quo, dealing with coworkers who, like you said, don't always have the same passion that I do, or dealing with an industry that was really geared towards a whole different market, you know. The one thing that you can tell from my fellow panelists is that we all have passion for what we do. And I think when you can get up every day and do what you love, it's not so much work. I mean, now you may not make as much money as you did when you worked for someone else, but because you always got to pay everyone else first. But like I said, you at least get to fulfill your passion, and you have a satisfaction at the end of the day of a job well done. And you know what you put into that business is what you're going to get out of that business. And when you have a typical 9-to-5 in corporate America, sometimes you can put in 100% and your efforts aren't recognized, or you could put in 20% and no one even notices. So I think being a business owner, you directly have a scoreboard of, I guess is what we call it, to show what you have put in and what you're going to get out of it.
Okay. So your life prior to becoming a business owner was...
I guess a very frustrated lifestyle because, like I said, I had ideas and creativity that just wasn't expressed through the companies that I worked for. And it was in the same industry, believe it or not. I even had a situation that it opened up as a pseudo-franchise. But once I got into it, I found out franchises simply meant I was a glorified employee because they really held my hands and said, you can only do this. We can only buy things from certain vendors. I wanted to promote African-American designers. I wanted to promote frames that fit African-American faces better. As far as point of purchase material, most of the major designers all use models of European background, and most of my clients are African-American. So I really made a giant push about only having materials that had African-American models on it, and it really caused a big stir in the company, which to me just made sense. You know, figure your marketing material should look like the customers who you're targeting. But I guess I was the only one who thought that way. So, like my co-panelist said, I had to get out of that and do something on my own, you know.
Okay, I hear you. Ms. Thomas, and what was your life like prior to becoming a business owner?
Well, before becoming a business owner, I just really was in, you know, I had positions as a stylist in other salons. So I would say that, you know, much like the other guests have said, you know, it becomes just kind of monotonous. You're going in and you are part of someone else's operation. And I didn't have an unpleasant experience at the places where I worked. I really enjoyed the salons that I was at. I thought that, you know, the other stylists were great. But I just felt like I still had ideas of my own that I wanted to push forward that I didn't really see them doing. So ultimately, that's why I wanted to go off and do my own thing and start my own salon. And so even from the title of, you know, my salon, it's just because I've always had that influence of just, you know, having my own ideas, having my own creative aspirations, and then thinking, why not? You know, why not do it just because? So that's really how I started. It was very effortless as far as just, you know, the push to want to do it. And I really just try to keep, you know, a very calm and balanced perspective when I go into it. Even though it's difficult and things happen because of my nature and my personality, I just really try to just, you know, follow my instincts and know that there will be challenges, but, you know, this is what I want to do, and so I do it just because.
Okay, great. Now, Mr. Niles,
I wanted to add on to that, what I was saying. Also, there is a difference between being passionate about what you do and being an entrepreneur. They're actually totally separate. And case in point is, like, if you look at anybody, Muhammad Ali, any star that was very talented and just didn't know how to manage money. I mean, that's two different things. When you become an entrepreneur, a real business owner, the entrepreneur, there's two sides of your brain. One kicks in, the other side kicks in, an analytical side. You know, so that's very, very important because you can be very passionate. You can want your identity, because I wanted that myself. I wanted my own identity. I didn't want to have the identity of that company, of that salon that I was in, or that barbershop that I was in. I wanted my own identity. You know what I'm saying? I have my own name. You know, so that's one thing. But as I came out here, and, you know, my first day, I slept in my store. I slept there because I finally made it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, but that's one thing. And then right after that, I got down to business, you know what I mean, as far as, like, coming here every day and just you know, just staying here and making sure people know that I'm going to be here. That's one side of it. But then the other side is knowing how to market, knowing how to attract and target, you know, targeting your market on the internet or on the street level. That's business, you know. So if that takes another, that takes the other side of your brain to start, to start getting those juices flowing. That's the comment I want to make.
Okay, great. So that kind of ties in with what Mr. Davis was saying in regards to, you know, he's kind of trying to target a market and there's nothing out there that looks like the people he wants to attract. So now for him to get their attention, he has to show things that look just like them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And actually, to piggyback on what Mr. Miles said, too, I fell into the trap of, like he mentioned, being a, I guess you would say, self-employed, because like I said, being so passionate about what I was doing, I was spending more time working in the business than working on the business. And I really had to separate that side of me, like you said, that analytical side, and do some of the things that I don't particularly like doing, like the accountant and the marketing and the technology and research and development, and you know, that wasn't what I was into. I was really into the people and getting the word out about healthcare, and also, you know, the designer aspect of glasses. It's a fashion accessory as well as a medical necessity, you know. So like, there is a dual personality that you have to have being an entrepreneur.
That's right.
You know,
I agree.
So.
I would have to add to that, and I'll say that, you know, agreeing with both of the two gentlemen here, that, you know, you definitely have that business side that you have to cater to and make sure that, because you can't just be, you know, the creative side. You have to not be the analytical and the business side. But I also think that heightens your, you know, your passion, because now you're actually able to move on it and figure out what is going to make, you know, your business work. And then if all else fails, I would say that, you know, it's helped me to see where my strong points are. Just as you've mentioned, you know, if you like being in front of a client, if you really think that, you know, is where you know, where your strengths are, I've learned the same, you know, that thing that maybe I do need to bring in. You know, I have a great publicist that I work with, or, you know, other people that come in, a graphic designer or a web technician or, you know, a web developer. You start to find other creative professionals and establish those relationships with those other people, because as an entrepreneur, you can't do it all. But you do have to find those other people that you can rely on to make that happen. And I think that is as much of a smart business move as trying to do it yourself, finding those people that can do it for you and with you, and then you work together to pull your brand forward,
A phrase that I use every day, and it probably sums it all up, is stay in your lane. And I think a lot of times as a business owner, you got to learn to stay in your lane. Don't try to be a lawyer. Don't try to be an accountant. Don't try to be IT guy. Stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, who is the person that really pushed you to just go for it? I mean, someone has to inspire you. You have the idea. You want to do this, but you're still kind of like leery on it. Who was that one person just said, just go for it and do it?
Well, since I guess you started with me on the last question, this is Steve Davis. I would say the person who pushed me the most probably was my wife, because I would come home frustrated about the ideas that I had. And then, like I said, when I got into the franchise situation, I was really frustrated because I labeled myself as a business owner, but I had no power as an owner. So that finally got to a point where she was like, listen, either do something about it or shut up about it, you know. And so I did something about it, you know, and that's when we opened up.
Okay, great. That's excellent. Okay. Ms. Thomas?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it sounds cliche, but I would say my mother, you know. My mother is a teacher and has always been about, you know, putting forth that you can do it, you can learn it, you can achieve it, you know, driving me. So I think just her constant encouragement over the years just has helped me to figure out, well, if it's something that I want to do, I can go after it. So she's been really, really encouraging in helping me, even when it, you know, is getting frustrating and I'm not sure what direction to go in. She's always, you know, beyond that teacher, maybe a cheerleader too. And so I would say definitely that she's been able to help me, you know, kind of move through those speed bumps and just kind of realize my dreams. So, yeah, my mama.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Niles.
To tell you the truth, I kind of like divorced my passion a few times because I felt like I didn't want to be one of those guitar people out, you know, with a bag and, you know, singing guitar, you know. But who really pushed me were my enemies. You know, my enemies pushed me to this, you know, the people that said I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking through is very hard, especially for a black male. You know what I'm saying? I know women get it. I know black women get it hard, but mm-hmm. you know, black women are also the you know, every white man loves black women. You know what I'm saying? So
they do.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. From Italians, Jewish, it's in our history books. You know, but you know, when it comes to black males, if you look it up, if you even Google warrior, black warrior, if you Google it, it's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There is no strong black model. You know, that's why black males, especially when they're young, they always go to the wrong strong man because he's strong. Because he can defend himself, but he's doing the wrong thing. So they kind of neglect the fact that he's doing the wrong thing because he's still a strong figure.
Images of intimidation. It's like the black man is intimidating, and that doesn't make you. It doesn't welcome you as a business person. I agree with exactly what you're saying. Instead of as a black woman, we don't have that level of intimidation as much as a black man does. So I'm sure that stands in the way of business. Yeah.
Right. So. You know, like I said again, you know, when my, you know, breaking into any field as a man, like me breaking into hair, like I do men and women's hair. So me breaking into hair, I have the hair dryers in here, and they always separate the hair from my chair. Like they'll see the hair dryers on this side, and then they'll see my chair. They'll be like, oh, is the young lady, she'll be in? No, I'm the young lady. I'm the young lady. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person that's going to wrap your hair and roll it. Oh, you kind of big. Yeah, but what is really the image? What is the true image of, you know, like, there is no image of a hairstylist. It's just a person that's capable of, you know, being ready, willing, and able to do your hair, you know, and do it to your satisfaction. You know, again, you know, you have to break through those things. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, being somebody with passion, yeah, you have the skills, but still you have to socially break through barriers that are still there. You know, mm-hmm. you know, not just with black and white, just black on black, you know what I'm saying? Just black on black, period.
Yeah.
There are barriers that we have to break through. I mean, come on, I mean, There wasn't we couldn't vote, you know, we had to break through that barrier. You know, there's a lot of barriers that, you know, when you come out here alone, you have to break barriers. So if you're not a warrior, you're not going to make it. That's period.
Okay, so you're saying that in some respects, you have to have a soldier-like mindset. You have to be ready for war, ready to battle the different obstacles that may come your way.
Yeah,
I mean, there are more
spiritual barriers because people are going to look at you, you know, as you're not supposed to be here, and you got to break through that. If you, you know, Jesse, Reggie Jackson, the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Another point of reference. You know, he came in there where, you know, racism was like, you know, it was there, you know, but he broke through barriers. You just got to be that barrier breaker. You have to do that, you know, especially if you're in an industry where they feel like it's already set up. If you're going to set a trend, you got to break barriers, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, especially as an entrepreneur.
Okay.
To piggyback on what he just said, I mean, simply to walk out on that leap of faith to start your own business, I mean, it's much safer just to get a 9-to-5 and work for a company that's been around forever and collect that paycheck at the end of the week. So to really take that chance, you have to be, and I'll steal your phrase, you have to be a warrior. I mean, you have to really believe in yourself and face that fear of, hey, this may not work. I may be you know, in front of my friends and family and peers and fail miserably in front of everybody. But you got to face that fear and go for it because, you know, you're never going to win if you don't try.
I also think you have to remember, too, that the barriers, the things that we're talking about, may not even be anyone else's, you know, may not be anyone else's, like, fault, you know what I mean, including your own. Like, some of the barriers and some of the challenges that you have to overcome might just be the nature of the economy at that moment.
Right.
Or the nature of business in general or a particular area. If you're in a, you know, a, as far as, like, a brick and mortar, like a, you know, a physical business set up. It could be like the real estate, you know, market might be down, or it could be the changes in the area could, you know, obviously affect, you know, sales. I think that there's a way that, yes, you have to be a warrior, but you have to be a warrior regardless, not so much about, you know, who is against you and who might not be able to see you succeed, but things, of course, the things that are going on in your own head about, you know, your own level of protection and the things that you want to go after. But then just realizing that all of those things aside, it could just be the nature of the economy. The whole nation had to figure out how to survive, you know, over the last 2 years. So I think that, you know, having that balance of knowing that you have to still do everything you can do in spite of what other people might think and what even might go on in your own head. But then you also have to know that sometimes it has nothing to do with me. And I have to still, you know, weather the storm through that as well. And I think that helps to not feel so responsible for the successes or the failure of your business, knowing that there's so many other outside factors that do contribute to it, even if you're doing everything that you can do. And that's been something that I definitely had to have thought about, you know, during the times when my business was slower over the last 2 years, you know, at times, because, you know, hair care was not a necessity for a lot of people, or if it was, they were taking it upon themselves because they were trying to save money. That has nothing to do of whether or not I promote my business well, if I offer them great service. It's just a personal choice of, I'm not going to go to the salon this week because I need to save my money because money's tight right now. You know what I mean? So it's like, we have to consider all the outside factors, and as much as the other business factors, which definitely you can't fall short there either, but I think that it helps, because there's so much to think about as being an entrepreneur that it's good to feel like, you know, even when you're doing all that you can, that there are other factors that, obviously, you know, that affect the success or failure of your business.
Okay. Now,
if I could just, yes, I mean, actually, but with me, when I had a winning streak, you know, before I fell off, my winning streak, whether it was, I mean, I made $300-$400 in a rainstorm. I couldn't even believe it. That's incredible as far as I'm concerned. It was raining like crazy, and people can't get an afro. You know, they didn't care. I don't know how they was getting out of there. Your hair's going to be wet. They still came for a haircut. You know, that that made me understand that it didn't matter what the condition was financially. This is why I don't believe that comment that you made about far any situation. If I have 100 clients, right, and they come to me every week and they pay me $20, you know, I'm doing pretty good. That's over $100,000 a year. But the whole thing is, if I only have 100 clients, right, and I don't think like a cab driver doesn't have clientele. He has to stay out here greedy for a new client. As long as you have certain amount of clients that are coming in, like let's just say two clients come in every day, 50 clients a month, that's 600 clients a year if you do the math. So it's like it's to the point where now I'm like, wow, you know, even if everybody, all my clients, even if every last one of them say, yo, I'm not messing with Flawless, and you know, whatever, for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? I know that in 1 year's time, I can have brand new clientele because it's the new clients that increases your business. So if your draw increases with, so you have to be creative. This is where you get creative. So this is how I stay alive. In my 145th Street zone, I go to everywhere I go. If I go into the Chinese store, I make sure that the person serving my food, he gets a card, or she gets a card. She knows I do service here. I go to the Spanish restaurant. the owner gets to, I know every owner over here. I know every, and that's for a reason, because I know that the success trickles down. So all I need to know is to go to the top, and they'll recommend people to me, and that's how I stay alive. That's how I keep new business, fresh business coming in, regardless of if my clientele, my main clientele, suffers that experience. I still keep new people coming in. As far as I have a Muslim mosque over here, they even come see me. So I have different. I have the whole spectrum in here. Just not one particular race or particular type of group. It's so wide range in here. It's that's what makes this thing beautiful.
I wasn't saying it. I don't know. I just wanted to respond quickly. I wasn't saying it as though those things, like your marketing, still doesn't matter. I just was saying that sometimes as an entrepreneur, you have to think about the nature of just the economy and the nature of, like, the local, you know, situation that fluctuates regardless of whether you're doing all that you can do or not, you know what I mean? And not to say that should stop you from doing those things. I was just saying that having a wider perspective, because sometimes you can be so focused on what you're doing just for your business that if you're frustrated on why it may or may not be working, it may not be that it's because of your own efforts. And just trying to zoom out of that a little bit and having a wider, you know, a big picture perspective can help you to think about how to market yourself in the midst of those dry spells. That's all I was saying.
Okay,
Mr. Davis?
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you have an optical shop, and it's different from the shop, these other two businesses. Now, with respect to repeat clientele, how do you get repeat clientele if I only come to you when I need eyeglasses or eye exam, and that's annually? In that time period.
That's pretty interesting that you mentioned that, because one thing that we did is create a need, and what I mean by that is we coined a phrase called your eyewear wardrobe, because a lot of people come in with the assumption that all I need is this one frame that I get this year, and I'll wear it for a whole year. It's going to be a one-trick pony. It'll go with every outfit, every mood, every circumstance that I have in my life, and I always compare your eyeglasses to your shoes or your handbag. You don't have one pair of shoes that covers your whole wardrobe needs, and there's not one pair of glasses that could do the same. So a lot of my clients, you know, we don't treat it like some of the national chains do, where you come in once a year and we'll see you again next year. We keep constant communication with our clients, so when new lines come out, or if Mrs. Johnson, I know she likes a black square frame, and maybe one of the lines that she really loves is Prada. Every time I see something or find something that fits that genre, I'm calling her up, inviting her in. We do private trunk shows where I'll go to companies and set up in their boardroom and show them the latest fashions as far as glasses are going, or go into the local churches and talk to the church members about the health care of the eye. We do fashion shows, believe it or not, where we invite a lot of the local up-and-coming designers. And my passion is African-American designers, so I'm proud to say that. So we'll highlight some of these up-and-coming African-American designers in the Philadelphia area and put our glasses, and we'll put on the show as an Omega Optical affair. We do cocktail parties. I mean, so this is not your old-fashioned, typical, you know, eyeglass shop where you come in once a year and then we see you next year. We are in constant communication with all of our clients. It's almost a saying in Philadelphia that Omega Optical is the place to see and be seen. Like, we created a movement here to where not just that you got this great frame, but that you supported a black-owned business that is doing great work in the community. We started a scholarship foundation in 2005 where we supply books for graduating high school students going into HBCs, because once again, that was my struggle. I'd had just enough money to get into college, but when the curriculum came around and said what books you needed, I couldn't afford those books. So I spent a lot of time copying pages in the library or borrowing this or borrowing that. And so once again, it was a passion of mine. And how the whole thing got started was just talking to some of our patients who were coming in and saying, hey, my granddaughter is about to go to such and such college, or my son's about to graduate from this high school. So we'd say, hey, let them see if we can help you out. And we were digging into our own pockets and helping these folks out. And then we realized, hey, if we started a 501c3 scholarship foundation, we could not only help them out with our own money, but we could solicit donations from some of these corporations that really have no idea of what the needs are of our community and get some money and direct it to the people who really needed it. So, you know, as far as reaching back and reaching our clients, that's all we do. We make our clients part of the Omega Optical family, and we promote that.
It's like A.G. Gaston. He's the first African-American millionaire. He said, in order to become a successful business person, you find the need and you fill it. And that's exactly what each one of you are doing. You found a need and you're filling it. And this is great. Now, I would like to ask, do you have any plans on expanding each of your businesses?
Plans on what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any plans on expanding each of your businesses?
I'll let you tackle the ladies first.
Okay. Well, right now, I mean, as far as just expanding, we would more expand in services than in, you mean like in actual physical locations?
If it's just, you know, services, physical location, whatever, do you have any plans for
expansion? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're always thinking about ways to expand. I mean, it's always good to, you know, look at the needs of your clients and fill those needs, just as you said, in however way you feel best suits your own present condition. So I think definitely, you know, we want to extend to, you know, nail care and perhaps even, you know, periodic massages and just really catering it to the needs of, you know, the women or the men that we service and making sure that they have a great experience when they leave the salon. It's not just about the service, but the experience. So in ways to enhance that experience, we're always thinking about, you know, ways to do that. And even partnering with other businesses, you know, that maybe don't compete directly with what we do, but that can definitely complement, you know, we can complement them and they can complement us. We've thought about, you know, fashion designers or retailers in the area and doing some type of collaboration with them. You know, once you look good as far as, you know, clothing, then, you know, you want your hair and your makeup and things to look nice. So, you know, offering that collaboration and that marketing partnership. So, absolutely, we're always thinking about how we can expand and how it's not just creating a win-win for us, but creating a win-win for others. So, yeah, always.
Okay, and Omega Optical, are you listening?
I am listening.
Okay, because, you know, you can, you know, you guys can get together on something. Even though it's in New York, it's still, you know, business opportunity.
New Jersey
Absolutely.
Turnpike, right? We can get
That's
right.
right.
Okay. And to piggyback on the expansion, one of my dreams has been to actually start our own line of glasses. So we have the two offices now, and we hope to expand into other states so that way we have a platform to sell our own brand of glasses. Because just like the frustration of working for someone else or working in a franchise that won't allow you to express your creativity, now my frustration is I'm selling Prada, Gucci, and whoever else, and really, you know, my people are coming in because of me, not because of Prada, Gucci, or whatever. And I know which designs work. I know what fits. I know what looks right. I'm ahead of the curve as far as that goes. And so I'm always looking for what designer is right where I need them to be. So, like I said, I think after store number 3, which is not in the works yet, but soon to be, speak it into existence. After store number 3, we're going to really start looking at our own line of glasses. So instead of promoting all these Italian designers and French designers and German designers, we'll be promoting our own brand, and we could really do some damage then.
Okay. Mr. Niles, do you have plans on expanding your business?
Yes. Next year, I want to get a bigger salon.
Okay.
But mostly it's going to cater towards the health. I have a lot of personal training and
mm-hmm.
doctors in the neighborhood. I kind of like tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be doing a lot more detoxing in my lot more detoxing,
okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay. So you're going
to
incorporate.
I wanted to add this too. Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead. If he wasn't finished.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that we've done some collaborations. Like, we had an art show where we collaborated with area artists, and we did a, you know, a art exhibition here at the salon. So that was another way that we promoted and definitely saw that, you know, people that like to look good also like their homes to look good. So really thinking about the client beyond just their experience that they can get here at the salon, but just thinking about their lifestyle. So we've done, you know, art exhibitions. We also have a boutique within the salon. So we carry greeting cards, and we carry accessories, necklaces, jewelry, you know, all types of jewelry, hair products, you know, picture frames. So we really try to think about our client and how they live, in as much as the services that we can provide directly as far as hair care. So that's another way that we, you know, have expanded just our whole Just Because brand without just having it be about hair and having it just be about, you know, the direct beauty services. We're really looking at their life and their experience and what we want them to walk away saying, oh, I can go to Just Because to get that. So women come in, they get their hair done, they might buy earrings, they might, you know, get a gift if they're going to an event after, and they're done. They have their hair done, they've got their accessories added, they've got the gift for the hostess or whoever, wherever they're going, and it just makes sense. And then they've got a card that they can also sign and put that in the bag. So we made it more of a destination, a one-stop shop for the lifestyle of our client, not just the hair needs of our client.
Okay, great. Now, what words of wisdom would each of you have for someone thinking to start their own? We'll start with you, Mr. Davis.
Words of wisdom. Put your plan on paper, and once it's on paper, it'll make sense whether you're going in the right direction or not. Once it's on paper, execute that plan and do a little something every day to get to that goal of getting open. I mean, that's the key, getting open. A lot of people will wait until all the stars have lined up perfectly and I have enough money over here and this is perfect and that's perfect. Obviously, like I said, you want to have a good plan, but just do it. I mean, not to steal, you know, famous footwear's line, but just do it. You know, you got to do it. I, the biggest thing I've run across is some of my elders, I'll say, will come into the shop, and they're very proud of me, you know, that I've started my own business, that we've been around, and they always tell me how they wish they would have executed the plan that they had. I always wanted to open this. I always wanted to do that, and I just never got around to doing it. And some of these folks are 60, 70, 80 years old, and although it's never too late to start your dream, if you haven't started at that age, you're probably not going to do it. And once again, another thing that I kind of live by is most people only regret the things that they haven't done. They don't usually regret the things that they've tried and failed at. They always regret the things that they just haven't done. And so my advice would be just do it. You know, it's a real simple phrase, but it just makes a lot of sense.
Okay, great. Ms. Thomas?
I would say to definitely agree with having a plan and just going after it and doing it. But I also think just thinking about that you don't have to do it all by yourself. So I would say listen and get advice from other entrepreneurs that may be in your field or that may not be in your field. And then try to find those ways to collaborate with people, other professionals that, you know, have a strong sense of what they're doing, and you can collaborate. Like you said, you're not always the lawyer or you're not always the accountant. You know, really trying to find those other professionals that can help your business grow without you necessarily having to take that responsibility on yourself. So while you have your plan of what you know you can do, to find other professionals that can help your business move forward, and you can support them, obviously, in their dream. So I would just say to not think of it as just only your responsibility. Entrepreneurship, yes, means that you're self-employed, but it doesn't mean that you can't have a community of people that can help you, you know, move your business forward. Because I've definitely found, you know, other professionals that have helped my business, and it helps take the, you know, headache off of me to know that I can give it to someone and know that they do their jobs well, just like I do my job well, you know. And it definitely is a win-win situation. So to try to build a network, try to build a community of other entrepreneurs that, you know, you all can swap or barter services or whatever, but not taking the full, you know, try not to reinvent the wheel, because it's already enough work. Entrepreneurship is already hard. So trying to find the other people that can help make your job a little easier has been something that has helped me in you know, every day.
Okay. Mr. Niles, what words of wisdom would you give someone someone who's thinking of starting their own?
Wow. Before you do anything, even if you have a spark, just make sure that you are a nerd at what you do. That's all you do. Consume yourself with your craft, because when you get out here, it's like you could be the best in your little neighborhood. When you come out to this out here, it's not your neighborhood. It's like an ocean of the talent. And, you know, and then everybody's different sizes. It's the one thing I found out when I was in my neighborhood. I thought I was the best barber in the whole universe. And then when I went downtown in Midtown, and then I just started seeing all this, you know, incredible talent, like different ways to actually do the same thing. And some of it was better, you know. The others were careless, but I'm just saying, like, it's just so incredible, you know, who has that talent. Like, you never know who has that that's just about perfection. You know what I mean? Like Bruce Lee did it. You know, I don't know if anybody ever seen. It's on YouTube. Bruce Lee was playing ping pong with his nunchucks. It's incredible. It brought tears to my eyes because it was like he was just so precise. He was so consumed with what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? Like that right there is all you need. Like he took his nunchucks and went to America and like was the man.
Okay.
So, you know, just perfect what you do before mm-hmm. you come out here.
Okay, that is excellent. That is really good advice. Each of you gave some very, very good advice for someone who's thinking of starting their own. Now, I would like to take this time to go over how people can find your services, your website address, your address, and your phone number. So I'm going to start with Mr. Davis. Can you please tell us that information?
Sure thing. You can definitely find us at omegaoptical.net. And we have a wonderful website that you can check out. It's no e-commerce yet on it, but soon to come in a matter of a couple of weeks. If you're in the Philadelphia area, we have an office in the beautiful, beautiful downtown area of Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, we're in the tallest building in Philadelphia called the Comcast building. And as you know, Comcast Cable just bought NBC. So we get a lot of celebrities coming through now all of a sudden. So it's a real good thing for us. But our first office that we started is what we consider uptown in Philadelphia. So more of, the African-American clients, more of the neighborhood situation. And that office, we're inside the Cheltenham Mall. And like I said, it's a great mall. We've been there for 10 years, and every day it's like homecoming. And once again, our phone number is 215-85-1200. But like I said, you can find us on the web at omegaoptical.net, Facebook us at Omega Optical, or you can even go to the Steve Davis page. Either one will get you all the information you need. And I think that's about it.
Okay. Ms. Thomas, please.
Yes, definitely. Just because Hair Therapy Salon is located at 141 Carlton Avenue, which is at the corner of Myrtle Avenue and Fort Greene, Brooklyn, our number is 718-722-7810. We're open Tuesday through Saturday. We are also on the web at justbecausehairsalon.com, as well as on Facebook. We have a Facebook fan page, so you can just look up Just Because Hair Therapy Salon. And right now, I'd just love to again mention our Prom Queen project. We're doing a fundraiser, our Spring Fling fundraiser, on March the 19th. So if anyone has any old bridesmaids dresses or formal gowns that they've not worn but just want to give it to a great cause, we're having a great event, and we can welcome, obviously, our existing clients, but also new clients. It'll be a great time for you to come, meet the stylist, offer us a donation, enjoy our complimentary services and things that we're going to have, meet and greet, and just have a good time for a great cause. So we're really hoping that this year's Prom Queen project goes over well as it did our first year. So that's really us, Just Because Hair Therapy Salon.
Mr. Niles?
I'm located here, like again, in Harlem, USA, 145th Street. It's
405 West 145th Street. I'm open 7 days from 10 to 10. My website is flwsnyc.com. It's a blog now, so that's what I'm only doing that at this moment until I go into my second phase with it. But other than that, I do men and women's hair, cut, color, style, do highlights. I do a bond. I do caps. Amongst a host of other things in the hair game. So my number is 1-888-260-1562.
Okay, great. And you can be located on Facebook?
Yes, I'm on Facebook with FLWSNYC. So that's facebook.com/FLWSNYC.
Okay, great, great. Now, I have to tell each of you here, you deserve as much recognition as any Fortune 500 company. And you're welcome. And I want to thank each one of you for joining me today to just show that it's not about, having a big conglomerate. It's about having a service, providing a need, and filling that need for those who need it in our communities as well as beyond that. And each of you are just out there tirelessly just doing your thing. And I'm here to say that you are continuing the legacy, and you're giving our young folks the opportunity to see that hard work does bring benefits far beyond monetary. And I wanted to thank each one of you all, and I hope that your stories will inspire others to become self-employed as well. And I want to thank you all, and may God continue to bless each one of you in your endeavors.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll be in touch with all of you because I could use any of your services, and we can make sure we have a synergy between our businesses, and maybe we'll get up there to New York real soon. Like I said, you guys
Absolutely.
Are right up the turnpike.
I'll hope you do that.
Okay, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all of the information for each of these businesses on my website, which is www.thecocoaexpress.com. So that way you can go to that particular my website, and you can get that information as well in case you missed anything. Now, okay, so that is my show for today, and I want to thank each one of you so much for joining us, and you deserve, I would sing to you, but I don't think you're happy. But I just wanted to thank you so much, and it has been indeed an honor having you tell your stories, discuss your businesses and everything. So, like I said, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you as well. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live. Heat.